A number of years ago, I was at a conference, and you know how it is when you're between sessions, and they always have like the coffee area and the vendor area. And one of the vendors was playing this, I don't remember if it was a tape or a CD or an MP3 or streaming, I don't remember which time period it was. I'm just going to say it was a tape. They were playing this tape of the names of God, and the idea was is it was this meditation tape. Is you could sit there and pray and meditate, and you would hear this very deep, rich voice reading from the Bible, and it would be saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Joseph. And it was really kind of cool to listen to those names just roll by and meditate on who God was. And as we're sitting there having a cup of coffee, I hear one of the names roll by. I am the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley. And I said to the people I was kibitzing with, I said, you know, I've heard that one, but I never quite sure where it came from. Anybody know where that one comes from? And there was this gentleman there, 50s, kind of portly, kind of round, full beard, says to me, utterly serious, without a trace of irony anywhere in his voice, he looks at me and says, it's from the Bible. And I'm like, dude, I didn't say this, but I wanted to say, dude, even though I know I went to the finest university in all of North Dakota, even I knew that one. But there's a serious point to be had here. As you just heard Lucy say, and as I was talking to the kids, we want to spend the next 4 weeks talking about the names of Jesus. We're getting ready for Christmas. We're getting ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And part of what we're doing for that is we are walking through this prophecy from hundreds of years before Jesus, where God says to the people of Israel these words. He says, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And so for the next 4 weeks, we're going to focus in on that. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Today, of course, Wonderful Counselor. And it is not a verse, it's not a name, not a title that we normally think of. And counselor is a name which gets thrown around occasionally. It's a way that the Holy Spirit is referred to, especially in New Testament language. Counselor, paraclete, is the one who comes alongside. So you get this beautiful image of Jesus coming alongside us in the midst of our trials, in the midst of tribulations. He's the one who's there with us. But what I really want to focus on is that term wonderful. And I'll admit that if I was going to come up with a list of my top 20 adjectives to describe Jesus, wonderful, not there. Powerful, merciful, just, divine, all-knowing, all those things I would think of, but wonderful, not in the top of my list. But it's important for us to understand this and understand what God has done. And one of the things you can do when you're trying to figure out something like this and what does a word mean like in this context is to do a word study. Back when I was in college, I was involved with this group called InterVarsity. And there was great parachurch ministry, and they were really helpful in shaping my faith. And one of the things that they love to do in that particular culture is do word studies. And they said, you know, if you can't figure out what a verse means, take the words and particular words that are giving you trouble, and just look at every other place those words pop up in the Bible. And these days it's so much easier because you can just plug it into your Bible software or your app or whatever on your phone or BibleGateway.com, and it'll give you all the places where that word appeared. You know, back in the day you'd have to take your paper Bible, flip to the back, look through the concordance and find out, oh, these are the different places, and you'd spend flip all the time. Those of you who are too young to remember paper are looking at me like, what's he talking about? How does that work? Anyway, but it's really interesting to look at all the places wonderful pops up. And it's really not that many. And there's just a couple that I want to highlight for you. In Matthew chapter 21, Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a donkey. It's the triumphant entry. He comes in, everybody's hailing him as king. He immediately comes from that place to the temple. He cleanses the temple. He kicks out all the people who are selling and buying in the temple. Everybody's trying to just make a few shekels. And he kicks them out. And then the way Matthew records the story, he says, "But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he had done, and the children shouting in the temple courts, 'Hosanna to the Son of God,'" excuse me, "to the Son of David," all the wonderful things. It's interesting, Matthew's almost leaving a sense of mystery to it. And this is Matthew who has recorded all these amazing things of Jesus raising people from the dead, healing the sick, giving sight back to the blind, proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand, doing all these things. And then here he's saying, Jesus did these wonderful things. It's like he wants to leave it ambiguous. He wants to leave a sense of mystery to it, a sense of openness to it. Because sometimes we don't get to know everything. I think Matthew was echoing Job here. In Job, which is one of the oldest pieces of the Bible, God and Job have this argument, or more precisely, Job is arguing with God. They're having this long-ranging discussion on sin and wrongness and suffering and everything else. And finally, God speaks to Job out of the whirlwind, and he says, "Look, did you lay down the foundations of the earth? Did you put the stars up in the heavens? Did you tell the glaciers where to go? Did you put these tides in these places?" And eventually Job responds and he says, "Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know." You see, there's something to this, where sometimes we make our God too small. We say biblically that we are made in the image of God, but often we flip that around. We remake God in our own image, and we make God too small. Think about this. For centuries, the people of Israel had been waiting for the Messiah to come, waiting for the Son of God to appear. And when they did, when Jesus showed up, they were expecting him to do a certain number of things, to cleanse the temple, to kick out the Romans, to restore the kingdom. Jesus' disciples kept saying to Jesus, "Is now when you're going to restore the kingdom? Is now when you're going to restore the kingdom? How about now? Now works for us. Does now work for you? We're good. Now." They kept saying, "Let's do these things." But Jesus is saying, "No. That's not what I want. I want to do something bigger." Jesus doesn't restore the kingdom of Israel. He dies to offer salvation to all of mankind. Jesus doesn't just bring these things for this select people. He brings it for everybody. It is this amazing thing how God says, "Your vision is this big. I want to do this." So often we get trapped into the smaller piece. And in having a clearer understanding of who God is, it gives us a better understanding of who we're called to be and what God is going to do in this world. It is important for us to understand who Jesus is. I am saying literally, wars have been fought over the nature of God. Protestants and Catholics have argued for centuries. Fought wars back in the 1500s. Christians and Muslims have fought numerous wars over these issues. It's why when we read the Nicene Creed a few minutes ago, we have all that true light from true light, true God from true God stuff in there, because they were thrashing these things out 1700 years ago. And as we get ready for Christmas, we get closer and we understand better who Jesus is. And it is a constant call for us to sharpen our image of who Jesus is. And you see, the thing is we're betwixt and between in some ways. Because here at this day, we're preparing for Christmas. We're preparing to mark the birth of Jesus. We're preparing to celebrate what he's done for us. But the story doesn't end there. It goes from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to Jesus' crucifixion to the empty tomb where he's raised to new life again. But then Jesus is coming back. And so, yes, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus again, but we're also preparing for his return. And as part of that, we repent and sharpen our image of who Jesus is, knowing that he will return again and we will be raised to new life with him. And I don't know when that's going to happen. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen 1,000 years from now. We don't know. But what we do know is that we trust in him and that we glorify him with everything that we do. It's one of those things as you go through this time of Advent, this time of preparation, this time of celebrating who Jesus is. My challenge for you is to focus in on what is that image of God that you need right now? Not that you want, but that you need. Because sometimes there's a tension between that. We just want that God who wants to give us stuff and bless us. But we need that God who calls us to new life, calls us to be changed, calls us to be purified, calls us to be his reflection. This season of Advent historically is a time of reflection, a time of repentance. And so my challenge for you is to live in that and celebrate that on the other side of that, we see Jesus more clearly. And we understand the gifts he has for us, and we move forward in that. We're going to continue this over the next 3 weeks. We're going to celebrate. We're going to be excited. And we're going to be challenged by who Jesus is. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for these words of Isaiah, written 2,600 years ago. We pray that you would transform us and that you would be glorified in everything that we do. We would see you more clearly and take joy in who you are. Amen.